on Triple J.
How do you like your ladies?
Oh, that's a broad question.
Do you like them nasal? Because that's Ron all this week. Yeah, sure, I spend some time in a coos.
Jacuzzi. You need to say, no one calls it a coos. You can't. You need to go jacuzzi and then coos, or else no one will know what you're talking about.
A 14-seater coos, and it was a magical experience. Ultimately, it was the thing that brought me down.
You know also when you say I had a magical experience in a jacuzzi?
I had a big old sex romp.
A big old Ron romp.
I feel like I honestly can't say anything these days without sounding like I've romped on.
Well, I think, I don't know why that is, because you're not a real romper.
You don't know that. Yeah, chairlift popped by, which was pretty awesome. This is the reason for... Which was actually a dream come true for old Hobby here.
Well, that's right. When you said, how do you like your women? My response was, like Carolyn from Chairlift. I'm very much in love with her.
Yeah, they were in the country just for a short time, a couple of shows quickly, and they were supposed to be playing Disconnect Festival. It got cancelled, and they were like, to hell with it. We're coming anyway.
Also, you're going to hear some legendary Aussie hip-hop guys on the podcast. Earth Boy, who's one of the sweetest men in the world, isn't he?
Oh, he's so great. He had his daughter in the background.
Yeah, you won't really hear that.
I mean, at some point you might hear her rustling around. She was holding a banana like it was a prop.
Mm.
That's just a weird bit of info, but it was almost like she was could have answered calls with it, shot someone.
Bliss and Esso came by as well, just chatting about their creepy music video they shot in Luna Park.
Eric Andre, we don't know if he can do Aussie hip-hop style. Probably, though.
Is there anything he can't do?
I doubt it. But first up, you're going to hear someone who's not me with Lewis.
Yeah, it's true. I cheated on Ron with Demi Lardner, who everybody knows and loves. Ron was off sick. And here's a little taste of a Ronless Lewis, Ron Pond. Demi, I was saying last night I watched a pretty hectic episode of the HBO show Westworld, which you're halfway through. I should have thought this through. This isn't the first time this has happened, frankly. That I've found myself watching things and going, like, I was looking around. First of all, I checked that there were no kids. Okay, sure. But I'm still embarrassed to be watching, to seeing that many, essentially, dicks out.
Yeah.
While I just don't want people to be judging me.
Right.
Essentially.
Yeah, but you're in the air.
I don't mean international waters.
There's no laws in the sky.
Well, yeah, I guess I wasn't really so much expecting to be, like, tossed off for doing something illegal. It was more
more for the people on the screen to do that.
Boom.
Hey-o. Hi. Comedy.
Demi Lardner is joining you right now. And we were wondering if there was, like, the weirdest thing or, like, the grossest thing you've had to watch someone else watch while you're on a plane. Danny, you watched something probably worse and more embarrassing than me.
I was on holidays and training from Brisbane to the Sunshine Coast and had about an hour to kill and didn't want to wait until I got to my destination to watch the next episode. So promptly put on the orgy scene from Westworld.
As in you skipped straight to the orgy scene?
Well, no. I worked my way up to it.
Just like a good orgy should, really.
Yeah,
what was the reaction like?
I wasn't really paying attention too much to who was around me, but then towards the middle of the episode where it does get involved, I started to have a look around, and lo and behold, I had school kids on the train with me, so I've just sort of sneaked into the corner a little bit more and closed the screen a little bit more, but there was this one kid who was just, he was pretty keen to keep an eye on what I was watching.
Oh, you might have given him an awakening of sorts.
I think I might have.
Incredible. Thanks, Danny. And Patrick, what about you?
Hey, guys. Yeah, look, really similar situation to yourself, mate, actually. I was on the plane coming back from Perth and I was watching Kurt Cobain documentary called Montage of Heck.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a great doco, but the entire middle half of it is basically nude with Courtney Love. And I had a 4 or 5-year-old girl next to me who I think was trying to enjoy her flight and herself. Confronted by some pretty confronting imagery of, some pretty dark images and Courtney Love being mostly nude. It was really problematic.
Was she there with, like, an adult or some sort of guardian?
She was there with her dad, who was giving me a couple of sideways glances. I couldn't really know whether I should switch it off and go to something else, but I've got a right to watch, you know, what I want to watch.
Oh, wow, look at you. It's a freedom of watch, freedom of speech issue.
Freedom of speech issue, mate. Just trying to watch a doco, trying to inform myself. Well, I don't know what the rule is there.
Yeah, at least the doco is like, you can claim it a little bit like you're educating her as well. Like if you're, you know, Danny's just literally watching an orgy. There's no excuse for that. Chris in Sydney said, 12 hours from Mumbai to Sydney, I watched a guy watch Borat six times over. That is horrifying.
And who's worse? He's watching it happen.
My God.
You're with Veronica and Lewis on Triple J. And if you need a little warning ahead of Whippy Griggs' time, consider this it. You got your warning.
Yeah, if you haven't met Nathan Whippy Griggs before, the very first time we spoke to him, he'd just taken out the record for the most whip cracks in under a minute. It was a huge amount. That was him doing it right there. And then we followed up with him a few months later because he was going for a new record, one that involved a very big whip. Well, how big? He was being very coy.
How much does it weigh?
It weighs just over 30 kilos.
Oh, Whippy. So yeah. Are you allowed to say how long it is, or are you trying to keep it under wraps so that your American nemesis doesn't build a bigger whip?
Yeah, that's exactly right. Until I've officially cracked it, I'm not releasing the length yet. Even to you guys, even though I love you guys.
No, yeah, look,
I can't even tell you.
Yeah, that's right. The record he was going for was the longest whip cracked in the world. And he joins you right now. It's Nathan Whippy Griggs. G'day, Whippy. How you doing?
Hey, good.
Whippy, give us some good news. Have you finally got the world record?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've got it. Actually, I got it about probably 2 months ago now.
Oh, Whippy.
Yeah.
We should have checked in with you sooner.
I know. I don't know what happened there. Maybe I was too excited and partying too much and I forgot to contact you guys.
So you haven't been challenged since?
No. You guys have no idea how long it was, do you?
No, you wouldn't tell us last time.
Yeah,
so,
I know.
So give it away. How long was the big one that you cracked?
100.47 metres long.
Oh, shit. Over 100 metres of pure whip.
Oh, yeah.
And so you handmade that yourself?
Yeah. So it took 3 months nearly to make. And, it's so much leather. Cost about $8,000.
Is it functional at all? Like, will you be able to use it in a whip-cracking sense that you normally would use
it? Not at all. No, it's just something I've always wanted to do, but it's completely useless.
It's a carny act. It's fine.
Yeah.
So will you, like, break it down into smaller whips now?
No.
What's going to happen to it? Does it go into some sort of museum?
It's going to go on display somewhere. I don't know where, but
if anyone has a museum of somewhere they'd like to hang on to one of the most precious artifacts this country's ever seen, do get in touch. Or the other reason you may want to hang on to it is because your American nemesis presumably is constructing an even bigger whip right now.
Oh, I hope not.
Yeah, you've got to hope not. Otherwise you'll have to invent a new record to do with whips.
Yeah,
I don't know. Widest girth.
I've got the base of that whip now, so I've got that 100-metre whip. It's just a matter of, like, adding bits to it, I guess.
Mm.
So,
apart from your range of whips that's growing, it also does feel like your range of merch is growing too, Nathan. You've got a whole bunch of, like, a DVD and a whip that you're selling for Christmas.
Yeah. So I'm actually doing a bit of a special at the moment. So my website's just nathangriggs.com.au. And, yeah, I've been doing stuff like buy a whip, you can get a free DVD or free postage and just running stuff for Christmas, you know, because at the moment I'm up in Northern Territory and there's not many, there's nobody up here at the moment, so not many gigs going. So I'm just, for the last month, I've just been making whips. Something different.
Awesome. Well, Whippy, it's always great to chat to you. Well done on holding the world record as the longest whip ever cracked. I hope you can find some new records to break in 2017.
Yeah, I've got to break the most whip cracks in 1 minute again.
Did someone take that off you?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Got it back.
God damn. Yeah.
Get it.
So I had 614 and now he's broken it at 646.
Wow, he smashed you.
Thanks.
Sorry, Whippy. That's the whip cracking game. You've got to stay sharp.
Oh, it is. But, yeah, this afternoon I've got to do my trick Tuesday.
Oh, yeah, great.
Tuesday.
All right.
Any ideas? I'm running out of ideas.
What about if there was some sort of bondage-y style trick and it's like the longest ever whip to someone, like after 100 metres, you know?
Like you want a person at the end of the 100
metre
whip.
Yeah, that just gets a little bit of a
just a person
on the bottom.
On all fours in some PVC.
Yes.
I mean, it would get the views on the internet, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
at the end of the day?
It would.
It's just doing that sort of thing. I'll think about something. Maybe I could wrap myself up in the big whip and then maybe practice something. Or
Thanks, Whippy.
Great brainstorm, Whippy.
Talk again soon.
Cheers, guys.
Bye. See you, mate.
You're on Triple J right now with Veronica and Lewis, and also you're joined by, well, if you were catching a show in Brisbane and you were like, oh, I want to go see Confidence Man, I wonder who else is there? Chairlift. That is who Confidence Man was supporting. And they join you right now, Carolyn and Patrick from Chairlift. Welcome. Oh, wow. Big cheer.
You know what? I felt like it. And also, we had it left over from a quiz we were doing earlier.
Let's get it one more time.
Okay, sure.
We hadn't.
Now we're on Triple J.
Yeah. Welcome.
One for each
Thank
of you.
Thank you, guys. Congrats, guys. How the show's been going so far?
It's been great.
It's been amazing.
Yeah, we haven't been in Australia since 2012, so it's really, really fun to be back.
God damn, was it that long ago?
I know. Time flies, right?
My God.
It's crazy.
So, yeah, you were supposed to be coming for Disconnect Festival. That got cancelled, mm-hmm. But then awesome news that, yeah, you did your shows anyway. How have they been going?
Fans are amazing here.
Yeah.
People dance. People sing.
It's actually been really fun to be here in Australia just doing the club shows and not a part of the festival. It feels like we get to get nice and close with the fans, which is nice.
And we've brought along two Australian bands, too, Confidence Man and The Harpoons, and we love both of them so much. So we're psyched to be on the road with them.
Do you guys get to hang out much?
Just backstage, really. We've been traveling separately, but backstage is a hang.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, you got another show on Wednesday in Melbourne at Max Watts. But who else are you guys? You guys are traveling with your band, your own band as well. Who else have you brought out with you?
We have a saxophonist, Danny Meyer, who also plays synthesizers, and then Joey Pistiglione, who doubles as a guitarist and a drummer.
Yeah,
Danny did horns on the album, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They both played on the record. Actually, Joey, who plays guitar with us, did some modular synth work on the record, and I wish we could take his modular synth rack out, but it's heavy and fragile, so we have him on guitar and drums.
Mm-hmm. Sweet. Yeah, I feel like since you worked with them a bunch, do you have, like, it must be fun to be able to improvise, but do you have much room in that for your show?
Yeah. I mean, we've sort of cut out windows that we know explicitly are for that. And, you know, every show morphs and morphs and morphs and morphs. And actually to the point that I have a hard time going back and listening to the album version sometimes because the live version starts to become the real version.
Yeah, I love strutting to some of the songs on Moth. They feel really good for like a confidence walk situation. Do you guys ever listen to your tracks outside the studio?
When we're working on them, yeah, definitely.
Yeah, we spent a couple of years working on that and listened to them a lot. I haven't put it on my headphones on my walks in a while, but
that's the thing. Once you've mastered it, you sort of don't want to listen to it anymore. But the live version, I'm quite fond of.
Okay,
yeah, and because you have a jazz background, right, Patrick?
I do. I played jazz vibraphone for a while.
Jazz, really?
Yeah.
You should see him with four mallets. It's beastly.
No way. I don't think I've ever met a vibraphonist before.
Another cheer.
That's one for all the vibraphone players out there.
Patrick's smiling really big right now. I'm just going to tell all you folks.
So what is a vibraphonist? A vibraphone?
A vibraphone is, it's like a xylophone, but it's metal. And it has these like rotary sound. So it has a long ringing tone.
It was used in a lot of like 60s jazz. So if you think of like 60s lounge music or like, you know, like a 60s idea of futuristic music, like the Jetsons or something, I don't know. It's definitely
it's
a lot of vibraphone.
Lots of elevators.
I wish we had one here so we could get you to just randomly play it.
That's weird that you don't have one here.
We've got a ukulele.
Honestly, guys.
I can play a ukulele too, though.
Okay.
That is Chairlift. Cha-ching. From their album Moth, a song that both Veronica and I voted in our top tens at the very end of last year. Huge fans, which means we're very excited to have in the studio the people behind Chairlift, Carolyn and Patrick, who are in the country doing some shows at the moment. And in fact, we just got a text in saying, did you know that 27.99.23 is the HTML code for the colour cash green?
Whoa. We actually did not know that.
It's a big hot fact.
Which is incredible.
If you're ever doing some HTML coding and you're like, oh, that green isn't cash enough.
You know, that's so crazy. Like, so many lyrics that I've written over the years come from, like, what Patrick and I refer to as, like, applesauce vocals. So I'll be in the studio and I'll just be mumbling. And sometimes I'll go back to the mumble and I'll, you know, say, what does it sound like I'm saying? And sometimes there's stuff in there that I didn't think about that just is more profound than I ever could have thought of consciously. And I think we're looking at a case of that right here, 27.99.23.
Totally. One of the awesome things about that song too is the music video with it that just has a great dance you do, Carolyn. Do you still know that?
I do. But the sad thing is I can't do it on stage because it really requires both my hands. And I'm holding a mic.
Madonna mic. You need to work that out.
You know, I like to have distance with the mic sometimes. I think I'd go crazy if it was stuck so close to my face.
Yeah.
But like at a party, like I think anyone who ever remembers any dance, either from childhood or from any kind of thing, if you can bust that out at any time, that's a party stopper, right?
The real party stopper is the Eminem Amnesia dance. Like people start going home.
The which one?
The Eminem Amnesia dance.
Oh, right.
We start like losing friends if I do that one.
Do you guys ever make music videos on the fly when you're touring?
We did on our first album. We made a video called Ceiling Wax. We were in Arizona for one day. And our guitarist at the time, his sister was a dance major at University of Arizona. And we knew we were going to be in town. And I said, hey, do you want to choreograph this song? And so we showed up and pulled out a camera and just filmed her in the dance studio. And then all three of us got into garbage bags and crawled across the floor. And I edited the footage together to be quite surrealist. But that was a $0 music video that we did make on tour.
Wow. You're not editing it, are you?
Mm-hmm.
Are you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I've edited almost every single Chairlift music video.
Jeez, multi-talented.
Editing is so musical. It comes very naturally, I think.
Huh.
On studios, though, and crawling across them, you guys built a studio, right? For your... I was just like, well, we could stick here. I'm going to move it along. What happened to the studio that you built for Moth?
It's still there.
We still have it. It's in the old abandoned pharmaceutical factory that was built in the early 1900s, I think.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
I think 1898, technically speaking.
It's a company that went on to become a massive, massive pharmaceutical company. But they moved out in 2008, and the new owners just kind of opened it up to different types of businesses. They were making a lot of movies in there for a little while.
Right.
Have you found any sort of weird old pharmaceutical things in there?
Oh, absolutely. When we first got in there, there was only maybe like 30 businesses in there and a building that's like the size of four square city blocks.
Whoa.
Huge. And we were the only people on our floor, which was that size. The lights were on 24 hours. It was quite spooky, actually. And now, of course, the place has hundreds and hundreds of businesses. Most of them are like food production businesses, but... we got in really early and they had these machines that were the size of this room, like the room that we're in right now, that were these like rotating, they're called hoppers, these rotating metal cabinets for mixing powders, for making pharmaceuticals, and we could actually crawl inside. And we would joke.
It's still there.
It's still there. We would joke that the whole place was scratch and sniff.
That's
so
really weird.
What's happening with it? Are you guys like, are other people going to use it or are you just going to go back in there when you're recording next?
Patrick's made like 100 records for other people.
Yeah, we've been doing a lot of different stuff in there. And then when we're out on the road, we have an engineer that tries to keep the studio running and people can rent it out. And
cool.
And it's the best studio in New York. It's got everything you need.
We should let you guys go in just a sec, but I did want to ask you a question. One of the times that you were in Melbourne over the last couple of years, you posted quite a bizarre Facebook video where I think that you were both really delirious and you created a character called Maybelline.
What did you do last night, Maybelline?
Last night, me, I just stayed in.
Yeah, you're kind of not really a party animal.
No, but I can be
Is Maybelline still around? Or?
Oh, my God.
I'm so happy you guys found out.
You guys are not going to be happy with what happened to Maybelline.
Oh, wait, no, what happened to Maybelline? Patrick?
She's in a beautiful farm with all the other Maybelline friends.
Okay, so just to like, you know, Maybelline was a small, not the makeup company. This is a small toy lion that somehow we ended up with. It was like a little plastic toy.
Where did it even come
and
from?
And we were waiting to do a video interview and the journalist bailed. And so we were stuck. Oh, a Skype interview. That's what it was. And so we were stuck waiting around on Skype anyway, like hyper-caffeinated, totally underslept. And we just started messing around. And yeah.
And then Maybelline was the product.
This character was
gone
born.
To a better place.
Maybelline was living in my apartment up until very, very recently.
Patrick, what happened?
Well, you know, me and my wife, we kind of collect a lot of stuff, and our apartment's not that big, and there might have been a purge.
Carolyn is looking heartbroken here. You're on Triple J this afternoon. Hope you're having a real good one.
Oh, it's about to get better because...
Heist News.
Oh, she back, baby. The Heist News is back. Oh, and quite a crazy and juicy conundrum.
Juicy indeed.
That we find ourselves in with this crazy heist that's taken place. So in a town in Palmerston, actually, in Northern Territory, there was a family. They're called the Fishers. Let's call them that. And they have this most beautiful mango tree in their backyard. Hundreds of delicious mangoes that are on their tree. And so they go to bed one night, all the mangoes are there. Next day, all the mangoes are gone, but one.
Okay.
They have two dogs, none of them barked overnight. They say it could not possibly be humans responsible. They say it's the work of aliens.
Oh, wow. Wow, that's a big twist. What are the clues? Because I got to be honest, if I own a fruit tree and the fruit gets taken, like I've taken fruit from a tree.
Yeah.
I know you have.
No, it's very tall, the tree. Not
doesn't
possible
matter.
To have gotten all of the mangoes.
I'm sorry. There's no tree that is so tall that a human does not have the tools to get up it. How do you think fruit gets picked?
But they...
Like when you have a mango tree... Like, it's probably backpackers, right?
Oh, you reckon backpackers are responsible? Why did they leave one?
As a like calling card. No, they just dropped one. They're in a hurry.
As a clue.
Why? How did they possibly get to aliens? Is that just a territory thing?
I think it was from NT News.
So they never said aliens. That was just the NT News going, someone's fruit was stolen.
But
aliens or?
the woman who goes by the name Ms. Fisher, because that is her name, has just solved another mystery.
Miss Fisher's Mango Mysteries.
Exactly. Matt, you've been in a similar situation recently.
Yeah, I caught him red-handed.
Wow, you caught a mango thief.
Yeah.
What happened?
Well, I let him go because I was late for work and I was driving out of my house and he was out the front, parked up next to the mango tree with a pole and a hook and just looking at me weirdly like he was doing nothing.
That's how they're
doing
it.
Was it a backpacker?
No, I think he's a good thief. I think he's been doing it a while. He looked professional.
Yeah, once you start having your own little mango thieving pole, although it's very brazen because it's not, he wasn't even doing it under the cover of darkness.
No, middle of the day. I asked him to leave. I said, that's our mangoes.
Yeah.
But I had to run anyway.
Right. So after you said, mate, don't steal our mangoes, what did he do exactly?
He didn't even speak. He kind of just looked shy and kind of said, oh, okay. Nodded his head and walked to the car, but like extremely slowly. I'm like, you're going to hang around. I know he's going to hang around.
Oh.
Took forever to start his car, and I'm like, I can't hang around. I've got to go. And just prayed that my mangoes would still be there. And when I got back, they're all gone. Every last one of them.
Oh, no. So you caught him and he had the balls to just take it anyway.
Yeah, he was keen.
Damn,
delicious mangoes. You should have quickly got them all off before you went to work. I mean,
there's a lot of mangoes. It could have taken a while.
And if you were tuning in to Good Nights with Linda Mariano last night, you would have heard this track premiered. Suddenly standing there in front of me, I'm crushing hard. It's called Crushing Hard, and it features the unmistakable voice, of course, of Earthboy. He joins you right now in the studio. G'day.
Hey, good to be here.
Welcome back. How you feeling?
I feel fantastic, actually.
Yeah?
I feel good.
High on life.
Yeah, we don't have any, you know, attacking asthma storms or anything in Sydney at the moment. And, you know, I'm hanging out with my little sort of three-year-old homie. And so those days are always a lot of fun for me. So here I am on radio and she's just kind of holding holding court in the background.
She's loitering around in the background, just behaving herself, which is excellent. So how was VanFest the other night? That looked really fun.
Yeah, VanFest was good. It's nice to get over to, to out western New South Wales and, get amongst it with an area that had just been recently devastated by flood. So it was nice to sort of see some good news and some good vibes in the area. And it's always fun having an excuse to go out to places like that and just, play music.
Yeah. It's not the furthest out you've been recently though.
Yeah.
Because you did a show in, what, PNG?
Yep.
Jeez, I thought you were talking about Geraldton. I was like, oh, yeah, I'm with you. No, okay, PNG.
music takes you funny places. And that one, it took me funny places. I mean, we got off the plane and walked straight into a press conference, which is not generally what happens, with my gigs, my grimy, sort of shambolic affairs.
Except for all your public apologies, obviously. It's like, he's done it again.
Get him in front of the cameras. We had special forces taking us around and making sure that we were all taken care of. We played in a mall. The thing is, you get up to a place like, you hear a lot of stories about PNG, but actually the Papua New Guineans are, really lovely people. And the only people that we kind of hung out with in our short time there was just a reminder of how beautiful a place it is. It's a spectacular place, just scenery and the diversity of wildlife and everything. But it's a beautiful, beautiful area of the world.
Surely it's been a while since you played in a mall. Have you ever played in a mall before?
No. It's the only time where we get the experience of the X Factor contestants, who kind of go off the show and end up playing in malls around the place. And it's definitely not to be encouraged. Although this is one of those random venues where in the middle of PNG and middle of Port Moresby, it's just a super club. So you go in the mall, but then there you go. You've got a huge PA and a super club like you'd see anywhere in the world. So it's a bit surreal, but
pick up some juice and some cheap shoes, that sort of vibe. Just, do some mall work, get a photo with Santa, get out of there.
So have you been playing this new one live?
No, I have, this song I literally wrote a month ago. I was actually working on music for the last few months, and one of the songs I was working on was this song called Flat Earth, which is really about, it's sort of self-explanatory really, but that was the song that I thought, oh yeah, this is actually coming out at the right time. The world is actually going to shit really. but Donald Trump's never going to get in, so maybe things will start to normalize a little bit, but really we are just starting, things are just... We're on a spiral at the moment, and no one really knows what's going to happen. So, I don't know what happened. I went into the studio and came out, and then all of a sudden we changed all of our plans, and this is crushing hard.
Yeah. Mm. Oh, because I wondered if it had maybe been an old song from the album that came out earlier this year, because it does reference crushing hard in Wait in the Water. So that was from the past beat and sounded like a second heartbeat. And then you kind of, so what was the idea, sort of taking that theme and expanding it?
Running out of ideas, mainly.
Sampling himself.
It's too expensive to clear other people's samples. I don't know. I mean, I was playing around with this song. It felt weird and uncomfortable at first. Well, I came up with this melody, and then the words from that song just they were so snug in the melody that I'd written for this new one. And I had a moment wondering about what I was going to do. And then I thought, that's pretty natural. It's a natural fit that this first song that I do after the record, it follows on from the final track, because that Wade in the Water song is the final song of the album. And that song is just about long, real love. And this one's just about anything but. It's just about the intense, the crush that you have before the love is kind of realized. So it had something neat about it. And I thought that there'd be too many people who might actually know that song, so I can't just pretend like it never existed either. So I better come up and come clean.
Yeah. Well, Mackenzie in Geelong certainly is appreciative. She says, Earth Boy, you're seriously the soundtrack to my life. Keep the beautiful stories coming. Mad props.
That is the brand new one from Earth Boy. It's called Crushing Hard. You might have heard it premiered last night. A lot of people are hearing it for the first time, and a lot of love. Earth Boy, You Are So Down to Earth. They spelt it Earth the way you do, so great play on words. Things like, this is so dope, Earth Boy is killing it. A lot of love. Can't get enough of this new Earth Boy track. And, yeah, and so a bit of a companion to Wade in the Water in a way.
What happens when it's just really bad? Do you just have to, on the fly, kind of make up, like, come up with compliments?
I mean, you've got nothing negative, but I'll try to find one if you like. We have a special section which is just for rejected stuff, so where all the really mean things go.
In fact,
there's none. It just says things like, you're a lovely gentleman. I mean, I could keep going, but you'll just get embarrassed
with
the compliments.
You couldn't fake this. Tom from Warrigal, what do you think?
I reckon it was awesome. I loved it.
Yeah.
Tom, you're the man.
Great new track there, Earth Boy.
Was that the first time you heard it just then?
Yeah, it was. I'm at work and it was definitely finished off the day.
Oh, unreal. You finished. You knocked off. What do you work as, Tom?
Maintenance.
Well, Tom, the good news for you may just be beginning, because Earth Boy, apart from having a brand new track, you've also got another very exciting thing to announce right now. What do you got?
I'm going to be going on tour next year, and we are here to sort of announce the tour. The tour is happening. And
that's what just happened. Yeah. Just announce the tour.
So smooth.
Woo. Crushed it. And it's a big fella. If you're a fan of Earth Boy and you think, oh, I just want to see him live, and believe me, if you haven't, you do want to see him live. It starts on the 3rd of March, and here's where he's going. You can block your ears if you like, because I know this is just going to make you exhausted just to hear this list of dates. Adelaide, Perth, Margaret River, Melbourne, Hobart, Long Jetty on the central coast of New South Wales, Newcastle, the Blue Mountains, Canberra, Wollongong, Sydney, Gold Coast, yes. Byron Bay, woo-hoo. Brisbane, yeah. Darwin, uh-huh. Alice Springs. Okay.
There we are.
Cheers.
Yes, scudding around this big, beautiful brown land.
Yeah. It's huge.
So kicking off from the 3rd of March, are you going to be bringing out anyone with you? Do you know that yet?
Yeah, I'm coming on tour with Joyride.
Hey. So great.
Joyride is, he's got lots of surprises in store for next year, and, you know, I'm really stoked that he's going to be joining the tour. Good person to tour with. And he's got lots of new songs as well, so it's going to be fun. And also Alice Ivy from Melbourne, who's singer, producer, and a great performer. So we've got a bit of a triple bill there, and I'll be there with my band.
Awesome. And it wasn't really that long ago that you brought your album out. It was in March.
Yeah.
And you're already bringing out new music at the end of the year.
Yeah.
Will there be any new music by the time the tour rolls around?
Yeah, for sure. I'm just in a good space. I'm just loving it at the moment because, you know, as weird as this year has been in a global context, it's been awesome musically. And, I mean, there's been so much good music in general that's come out this year, but I never really expected that my new album would be received well. I just sort of thought, oh, well, I'm putting it out and we'll see how it goes. And I've been so grateful for the good times that have followed this year. So I'm in a bit of a DGAF kind of mode at the moment where it's just anything goes, and I just wanting to continue that kind of spirit on, and the songs are just coming easy, and I feel like I'm in a bit of a free place, which is a good place to be.
Yeah.
So we know what you're doing from March, but what are you doing in the next couple of weeks? What's happening for you for Christmas?
Good question. You know, one of the best things about Christmas for me is I get to go down to Bundina, which is, you know, a little beach spot. But we've got the Elephant Tracks 18th birthday this Saturday night in Sydney, which is our record label that has kind of, you know, we thought, let's throw 18th birthday. And then after we had organised it all, we realised that no one really does that apart from 18-year-olds. But we're doing it, and, you know, we've got The Herd and Horror Show and Elfresh and Be Wise. And
is anyone going to do a speech? Because, you know, like, the 18th speech has to be like 10 minutes of just shit talking about all the times you vomited on a footpath, and then finish with, nah, but seriously, Elephant Tracks is a good guy.
Yeah, I definitely could lose some friends. I'm actually hosting the night. I'm not performing.
Oh.
So, yeah, I'm taking tips. Anyone who's got any suggestions for a speech that's not going to clear the room. Mm. I'm pretty good at clearing the room.
Really?
Real talk. I gave a speech to my mum on the weekend. My mum's 70th birthday was on the weekend, and we were chatting, and I was just talking and rambling as I always do. No real end point. Repeating myself like 6 or 7 times during, you know, 30 seconds. And at the end of it, I cried. Like, I just had that moment where I was looking at a bunch of well, mainly 60, 70-year-olds. And, you know, I broke down. So maybe it'll be the same on Saturday night. I'll just actually be on stage, that sort of drunk, teary guy.
Yeah. It's going to suck for whoever the artist is, like, immediately after. The whole crowd will be crying. You're like, and now, El Fresh the Lion. Yeah.
Just being pezzed out by Earth Boy speech.
Oh, damn. Well, Earth Boy, thank you so much for the new song, Crushing Hard. I'm sure we'll be hearing a lot more of it around the station. And the tour kicks off in March. You can find more details on the Triple J website and on Earth Boy's various social media, whatever's.
It's in the cloud somewhere.
Thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you.
And you might remember last year there was a young guy called Martin Shkreli who became known as the most hated man in America after he jacked up the price of an HIV drug from $13.50 per pill to $750 per pill. He is the same guy you also might remember bought a copy of that only Wu-Tang album and promised to play it in full if Donald Trump won the election. Well, this week, a group of Sydney school students recreated that exact same drug that Shkreli made super expensive in their school lab. And one of the students, Charlie Jameson, and the research associate from Sydney Uni, Alice Williamson, who did that exact thing, join you right now. Hey, guys, welcome.
Hi.
Thank you.
So firstly, tell us what the purpose of the experiment was.
So originally the purpose of the experiment was to try and make Daraprim, which is an anti-malarial, but it's also used in the US and Australia for some HIV-related illnesses, to make it easily and safely for high schools, literally. And so we've been working on that all year to try and find a different method to the literature.
So it's taken you all year?
Yeah, it's been a lot of trial and error and trying different methods to get to the end result.
So, Alice, how did you become involved with these guys?
Well, I work at the Open Source Malaria Consortium, which was founded at Sydney Uni in 2011. And basically, we're a project who are trying to find a new medicine for malaria. And we're doing it in a bit of a different way than traditional drug discovery because we share all of our data and our ideas online straight away. So there's no secrecy. And as well as, you know, seeing if this model works for malaria, it also means that we can make some really unusual collaborations. So with undergraduate students who wouldn't usually be making drugs and also high school students. So we've been working with Sydney Grammar for 2 years now, the first year on anti-malarials. And then at the start of this year, like many people, you know, this Daraprim story had really kind of stayed with me. So I thought, oh, maybe we could see if these young guys could make this molecule in their lab and help to highlight the inequity of this medicine.
So did you guys make it differently to how Shkreli would make it?
Basically, this molecule is off patent, but there's lots of recipes or procedures that are online for people to follow. But as maybe Charles will tell you, sometimes it's not as easy to follow those procedures, but maybe I'll leave that for you to explain.
So Charles, when she says recipe, that puts me in a mindset of going, hell, I can do that at home. But how did you do it?
Most of the methods and the recipes online, they use some pretty dangerous stuff. For instance, the one you find on Wikipedia has a pretty toxic gas, which makes it really hard to use, especially in low-tech chemistry labs. So we were trying to find a safe and a sort of a low-tech way of doing it.
So how did you test that it worked?
So we were using the University of Sydney labs. Uh-huh. They had big machines that sort of analyze chemicals to see how pure they are and what they actually are.
Well, how was the celebration when you worked it out?
Well, it's very slow because you don't really know exactly what you've got. You have to actually look at the graphs and the spectra and see, I think this might be it.
So, okay. Like, drug creation is I don't understand it. I really don't even understand how it starts, how it middles, and how it ends. Like, when you want to make a drug like this, like, what do you... Without getting into too many details, what do you need?
Well, we start with all chemicals that you can buy from retailers. Not
Bunnings.
Not from Bunnings.
Yeah.
Close enough. But essentially just stacking stuff together and eventually it all sort of works out, I guess.
You've seen Breaking Bad? Come on, Lewis.
You know I haven't seen Breaking Bad, actually. Famously.
Sorry. You need to. This sort of thing happens.
Okay, so you buy a bunch of chemicals, you whack them together, and then boom.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully no boom. That's the idea.
But we're pretty excited because Bliss and Esso join you in the studio right now and they've got some brand new music. Welcome, guys.
Hey.
Thank you very much.
How are you?
That track we've been playing a bit of, just Dopamine. The music video for that is extraordinary. It's really cool. You guys are running around Luna Park. Looked pretty creepy. Were you there alone?
Yeah, they actually opened up the park just for us, which was pretty cool because it's such like an iconic, setting, I guess. And it's more old school than the Sydney one, right? So because it's got the wooden roller coaster and everything. So it is quite eerie. And we were going for that vibe, obviously, in the clip. But had some amazing little dancers that rocked up and helped us out.
It was actually full circle for me because I actually was a carny working at Luna Park here in Sydney.
You used to hustle mixtapes.
Selling my mixtapes on the ride. I'd play the music on the ride. So when they got off the ride, they're like, "What's that, mate?" "That's $5 a pop, brother. We can have it right here." So it was cool that we got to go back.
Wow, great hustle.
Yeah. And did you get like all your friends around once you'd finished shooting the video clip and just have a full party time in Luna Park?
And just open up all the rides and go crazy.
And we want to put on Friend Like You, this new song from you guys. Can you tell us about it? Featuring Lee Fields.
Yeah, Lee Fields, who's an absolute legend. Yeah, this is a brand new song of ours. We're super pumped to play it. Lee Fields is a bit of a legend from Chicago in America. He's about 65 years old. He kind of got discovered late in the game, but his voice is amazing. He's kind of like on that kind of James Brown vibe, I guess. We wrote this song with some other people, and we kind of had the sentiment of the song and where we were going emotionally with it, but we wanted to find the right voice. And sometimes you write lyrics, but you need to find the exact right voice to get across the emotion of what you're trying to say. And we were actually doing a show in Chicago a couple of years ago at the House of Blues. And while we were there, we saw the Hall of Fame where they have all the past people that played. And we saw a picture of Lee Fields and we're like, "Who is that?" And we found like an old dusty record of his and we played it. And man, the moment we heard this guy's voice, it was like amazing. Like he's one of those special singers. So when we wrote this song, we knew this was like a song that would suit him perfectly. And we sent it to him and it was awesome. He blessed it and he loved it. And
wow.
We're stoked.
It's that moment when we actually got his vocals sent to us and everyone else had heard it around me and I was putting the headphones on and they were looking at me like, "Get ready." And as soon as his voice came in, it was like golden lava pouring over the heavens. I can't,
Wow.
I texted you. I was like, "Man, I'm about to cry right now." Yeah. It's
crazy. Well, get the tissues ready in a sad way, not in a weird way, because we're about to put on Friend Like You featuring Lee Fields, brand new track from Bliss and Esso. Let us know what you reckon. 0439 757 555. We'll be back with the guys right after this. There it is, the brand new one from Bliss and Esso for the very first time. Friend Like You is the name of it, featuring the incredible vocals of Lee Fields. And goosebumps is the word coming through the most on the text line.
I totally agree.
Hayley from Goulburn just says, "Loving you, Bliss and Esso, giving me goosebumps."
Love you, Hayley.
Rachel saying, "This is ridiculous." A few people who reached for the tissues in a way I specifically instructed them not to. You are joined by Bliss and Esso in the studio right now.
Molly from Arcadia, what do you reckon?
Oh, my goodness, that was amazing. I was so excited when I heard that they had new stuff on the radio. They were my first concert I've ever been to. And, wow, that did not disappoint.
Oh, we love you, Molly.
Bless
Thank
your
you.
Soul, sweetheart.
And also, we had a text in from a young man who's very excited, big fan, first time on the radio. Dylan Joel, how the hell are you?
Yeah. Hey, what's up, Chris?
How are you, brother?
Dylan Joel! I'm real good. Man, I'm so hyped to hear new stuff.
Yeah.
What do you think of that one in particular?
Yo, super ill. I'm just really hyped, especially like with that and with Dopamine. I just feel like the boys are like getting more raw and speaking real honestly, and it's dope. So refreshing to hear. I'm real hyped.
Thanks, brother.
My little snow ninja wizard.
No.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. Sex tip of the week.
Sex tip of the week.
Now it's time for another sex tip of the week. Brought to you by
One Nation Senator Rod Cullerton.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah.
It's personal with Dick.
Mmm.
Oh, yeah, oh,
sex tip of the week.
Triple J.
Just one boy joining you right now. Well, I guess I forgot to count myself in that. I was going to include Eric Andre, and I'm just...
Two boys, one cup.
Yeah. Oh, finally.
Make the video.
With that video.
Your shows have been going so well here and just bloody selling out everywhere that you're going to be coming back.
Yes.
I am coming back. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, you're going to be coming.
I have a lot to say on the subject.
Yeah, so you've already done shows in Melbourne. You've got tonight and tomorrow night in Sydney, but then coming back in May.
That's right.
I'm touring Tasmania with Yahoo Sirius. We're only doing the island of Tasmania. Yes, I'm coming back to do your whole goddamn country. I can't wait.
Melbourne.
And New Zealand.
Yeah, I mean, they don't matter to us, but good for you. Melbourne, you're going to be doing shows on the 15th and 16th of May. Big rooms, too, at the Comedy Theatre. Mm-hmm. You're going to be doing a show in Brisbane, a show for the Sydney Comedy Festival at the Enmore Theatre. It's a show for the Perth Comedy Festival at the Regal Theatre and in Adelaide as well at the Theberton Theatre. So plenty of chances to catch you mid-next year.
If you'd like to see some comedy from Eric Andre, but maybe also some music. That's your background, right?
Yes.
You should put on a musical jazz show as well.
Nah, jazz is dead, man.
No, tell us about that, though. That's what you studied at uni, right?
I went to Berklee College of Waste Your Money Music in Boston, Massachusetts for upright bass. And then after $120,000 and 4 years later, I realized that you're not going to make much of a living playing upright bass. So I switched to jokes.
Wouldn't it be amazing, though, to fuse, comedy and jazz in one?
You know, I've tried, but it just makes my set a little too mellow, daddy-o. And my set is quite the opposite.
Yeah, you get a lot of musicians on the show, though.
Get a lot of musicians, yeah.
I was watching one with Wiz Khalifa recently.
Wiz Khalifa.
Chance the Rapper.
Chance the Rapper. Tyler, the Creator.
T.I.
T.I. Ariel Pink. He was a walkout. T.I. walked out.
Yeah.
Action Bronson.
He walked off our show recently, so we have something in common.
Really? Who?
Action. No, he just hung up on us.
Really?
Yeah.
Why, he was mad or what?
Hard to tell. It was a shaky line. We never really got clarification.
Shrouded in mystery.
Yeah. I was because Hannibal Buress is like mates with a lot of those guys, Chance and stuff. Are you friends with them as well, or is that just what his job is? Hannibal, just bringing on the rappers.
We have mutual friends. There's people that are just friends with. There's rappers that are just friends with me. There's rappers that are friends just friends with Hannibal, and some friendships we share.
Beautiful.
You have to go on Facebook for clarification. What's going on.
Yes, exactly.
I saw the T.I. one, and he walked out because... Oh, was it him that walked out ultimately because someone walked in with no pants on? And
yeah,
it was just a straight
that's called
up
Winnie the Pooing somebody. It's when you have a shirt on but no pants or underwear.
If you want to make that a local reference, Humphrey B. Bear.
Humphrey B. Bear, it's a Humphrey B. Bear kind of situation.
Yeah,
and so he had seen enough male nudity for one interview, and he decided to.
There's a lot of nudity.
A lot of nudity.
Yeah, I don't know where to go from that.
We're born naked. It's a celebration of the human body, which is the original form. If you ask any artist, it's why artists paint nude. What are they called? Selfies? Portraits? Nude portraits.
Well, I don't know if there was any nudity in the live show last night, but Ryan from Geelong, you were there. Well, can you clarify, was there nudity last night?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Excellent. You had a sort of contribution you made to the show, Ryan.
Oh, a little bit, yeah. A friend of mine was determined to give Eric her number, so she'd brought a big fluffy cockatoo and written bird up across the chest and just thrust it to me and said, throw this on stage. So I threw it on stage to try and get the...
And we have been married ever since.
Yeah, Bird Up is this sort of part of the show where you go...
Oh, yeah, thank you. That was you. Thank you for the Bird Up doll. I appreciate it. Yeah, we have a really stupid bit called Bird Up on the Eric Andre show. And it's the worst show on television. Bird Up is...
Don't criticize this.
But what happened to the bird? Did you get it back, Ryan, or do you have it, Eric?
Well, that's who I was talking about. I married. I married that stuffed bird.
I
can't use the F word right now.
Well done. Great restraint.
I will leave that up to the imagination. I was like, fudgesicle.
We can't.
Far out.
Maybe let's get out while we're on top and before we've all been taken off air.
Eric, you're not going to talk about the Auckland shows? You guys really hate New Zealand, don't you?
Yeah. All right.
I'm playing at the Q Theatre. Don't listen to any Aussies. Listen to the Kiwis only.
It's true.
The superior people.
They're very
I'm going to alienate this whole entire continent right now and go on record with siding with the Kiwis. No, our Kiwis, I heard the Kiwis are, they're like the Canada of the down under.
They're
very
really
nice, right?
Lovely, and it's beautiful scenery there.
But the Prime Minister got fired for pulling a waitress's ponytail.
No, not true. He didn't get fired and then retired at the top of his game.
Really?
Yeah, he didn't. Like, people found it quite endearing in a weird way, which is impossible to explain.
Well, Donald Trump's about to be our president, and he's a sociopathic liar. Nah, so it's kind of the same thing.
I reckon he's cute and endearing.
He's
endearing. He's charming. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, good luck. I can see why you're coming back here. Things are less crazy.
Oh, well, Eric Andre, thank you so much for coming by, and we look forward to seeing you when you're back in May.
Thank you so much.
Veronica, Lewis, Triple J.